The Bible played a key role in the founding of America. Virtually all the founders knew the scriptures, as one scholar put it, down to their fingertips. Dr. George Grant is a best-selling author of many Christian books. He's a pastor and a Christian educator. And he notes that in the first few chapters of the Bible, there are key principles for all nations, for all societies. They have much to teach us, even in modern America. This is Focal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Dr. George Grant joins us again. Dr. Grant, always a pleasure.
It is a pleasure for me as well. Good to talk with you, Jerry.
Okay, now you and I spoke about a month or two ago after the terrible shooting in Nashville, and where you were a pastor and so forth, and you said almost as an offhanded remark that, well, in the first few chapters of the Bible, there's about, I think you said 20 or something like that, life lessons for all time, for all society, we would do well to learn those. So I'm just going to go ahead and sit back and relax and listen to you wax eloquent about this point, because I think there's something to be, you know, for all of us to learn about.
Well, you know, Jerry, the Genesis account of creation details with stunning clarity God's purposes and intentions for his world. In the first two chapters, prior to the calamity of the fall of man, God's perfect design is described in a series of what we might call mandates or ordinances. The promise of the gospel is that Christ is restoring every broken thing, that he's making all things new, that he is ushering in a new creation, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians. Thus, the great redemptive work is the restoration of those original ordinances. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 8 that all creation groans for that day of full restoration. So Genesis does not merely describe the past estate of a now fallen old creation, but it also describes the future estate of a redeemed, restored new creation. So what that means in practical terms is that those ordinances point us to the cosmic aim, the goal for which all creation groans and waits in anticipation. And if we needed no more evidence than what the Word of God says, all we have to do is look around at all of the hot-button issues in our culture today, and what we see is that every single one of them is a rebellion against one or more of these ordinances. So in the midst of cultural chaos and disintegration, it behooves us to study these creation ordinances, indeed to approach the issues of, say, gender, race, or sexuality from any other context reduces these magisterial questions to little more than spiteful spitting matches of subjective prejudices and preferences. So I think it's really important for Christians to realize that the gospel really begins in Genesis 1 and not in Genesis 3. That's where the Apostle Paul begins when we read the book of Romans or the book of Colossians. He always begins with the creation of the world, because what we see wrecked in our culture is God's original design. And so if we need to know, okay, so what are we Christians supposed to be wrestling for, fighting for? It's the restoration of these creation ordinances.
Okay, so go ahead and let's explore them. Yeah, these creation ordinances.
Let's kind of walk through some of these so that we can see. The first creation ordinance is the preeminence of the preexistent sovereign God. In the beginning, God. The second creation ordinance is ex nihilo creation. He made all things out of nothing. The third creation ordinance is the creature or creator creation distinction. The Holy Spirit hovered over the formless void. The fourth creation ordinance is pro existence. Having made all things, he declared them good, or even very good. So we can just stop right there, and we can see that when modern man rebels against the idea of a sovereign God, or when a man rebels against the whole idea of creation, as the Darwinians, Marxists, Freudians, and Gramscians inevitably do, they're starting at the start. Oftentimes, as Christians, we try to argue our way to apologetics. And the truth is that the presuppositions of fallen men are already denying the essence of reality. When we look at things like creation itself, the notion that God is pro-existence, that he made all things good, changes the way we exercise our stewardship in the world. The fifth creation ordinance is orderly distinction. He makes all things according to their kinds. The sixth creation ordinance is ordered time. He made the day and night, the days, months, and years, as well as the celestial bodies that measure out those times and seasons.
Okay, real fast. What does the time have to do? I mean, I can follow the gist of what you're saying. How does time, let's say, apply today?
Well, so that there are hundreds of different calendaring methods. When man rebels against God's order, he tries to reinvent the calendar. So in the French Revolution, they got rid of the 12 months and even the 7 days in a week, renamed the calendar, restructured it. They created a calendar that would operate cyclically, something like the Chinese calendar or the Islamic calendar. And the truth is that a calendar is always a worldview construct. And the Christian view of the world is that there is a beginning and there is an end and there is a progression between, which means that time is linear. It's not a series of cycles. It's not prone to the caprice of the gods. It is worked out and it is orderly. That changes the way we think. It changes the way we work. It changes the way that we live.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
So when man rebels against that,
yeah,
he is, in essence, fighting against the reality as God intended it from the beginning.
And speaking of the clock, we have about 6 minutes left, and I just want to say this is being recorded in the year of our Lord, 2023. So what's the next creation ordinance?
Well, after the sixth creation ordinance, we have the sacred teeming of creation swarming across the earth. The eighth creation ordinance is the blessed multiplying of the fruitfulness of all of those swarming living things. The ninth creation ordinance is the Imago Dei, man made in the image and likeness of God. The 10th creation ordinance is the binary cisgender nature of man, male and female, he made them. Facebook can have as many different genders as they wish, but that's just rebellion against the order that God created, the reality that God created from the beginning. The 11th creation ordinance is a call for man and woman to fill up the earth with their progeny, with their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. The 12th creation ordinance is the responsibility of family stewardship. They are to subdue the earth. The 13th creation ordinance is what Dr. Kennedy always used to call the cultural mandate, to exercise the servant leader of dominion. The 14th creation ordinance is the bounty of culinary delights, food eat. The 15th creation ordinance is Sabbath rest. He blessed the seventh day and made it holy. The 16th creation ordinance is that notion of the generations of the heaven and earth marking out the trajectory of history. The 17th creation ordinance is creative calling. The man and the woman were to work and keep the garden. The 18th creation ordinance is the co-regency that God assigned to them as the naming and ordering co-regents over all of the creatures. The 19th creation ordinance is the sacred bond of marriage, so that man and woman were able to declare, "You are now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." And finally, the 20th creation ordinance is the cornerstone of the family. The man and the woman are to leave and cleave. Now, understanding these 20 ordinances is the first step toward repudiating the age-old heresies of salvation by legislation, salvation by medication, and salvation by education. Understanding these 20 ordinances enables us to see the battle lines that men and nations are in rebellion against each one of these ordinances at one time or another. Define the ordinances, and you've defined the assault on our civilization.
So you've already given an example with the Facebook and the, you know, the whole non-binary idea. In other words, gender confusion. Yeah. How about another example of any of these other creation ordinances that you mentioned?
Well, getting rid of the Sabbath, for instance, reduces the capacity of man to work as he ought. The truth is that we were made to have Sabbath rest, to labor for 6 days and to rest and have a time of fellowship and worship with God on the seventh day. And, there have been innumerable leadership and management studies that demonstrate that this is essential for high productivity and efficiency in the workplace. If we want to be our best, then we need to lay aside the Lord's Day for the Lord.
You know, it's interesting, George, I'm sure you've heard these reports that Chick-fil-A does really, really well, even though they have a day off per week compared to their competitors, but they're able to get a lot of sharp people because people like to have that day off. By the way, we have about 2 minutes left.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what I would say is that at the nexus of this current cultural crisis, it is vital that Christians look beyond this moment to those enduring eternal truths which afford us with providential perspective and prophetic perspicuity, because the ordinances remind us of God's original perfect design. And they point us forward to the restoration of every broken thing. Okay. They afford us a glorious agenda for both resistance and reformation in this difficult day.
We have about a minute left, and I can just hear some people saying, we need to fight the patriarchy. But it sounds like that flies totally in the face of these two chapters in Genesis.
Well, patriarchy properly understood as a husband loving his wife as Christ loved the church, raising up his children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, is a rich and beautiful thing. When we turn it into an ugly picture of domineering, then obviously it's something we need to resist. Every good thing can be polluted and perverted. Our job is to restore them to the design that God intended from the beginning.
All right. Now, your materials can be found at georgegrant.net. If we were to go to that website, is there a section about this? I mean, this is fantastic stuff. And I'd like to talk with you further, maybe about a cultural mandate sometime and so forth. But
yeah,
we're basically out of time. So georgegrant.net.
Yes. And you can listen to my podcast, Resistance and Reformation, which is on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network, and I've got several
great
episodes that are devoted to these ideas.
George Grant, all the best. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Blessings.
You too.